Let us pray. You, O God, are with us in the midst of our celebrations and our challenges. Be with us this day as we shout with joy with our brothers and sisters who walked with Christ. Be with us also in the days to come as we walk a dark week, filled more often with fear and uncertainty than it is with hope and confidence. Inspire our hearts and minds this day as we seek again to embrace the good news that is revealed most fully in the life, death, and new life of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today is a pretty good day in the life of Christ and his disciples. In particular, I want to focus on those disciples. They've been following this Jesus guy all over the place, seeing things, healings, food miracles, walking on water, people raised from the dead. These are things that, if you don't see them firsthand, are hard to comprehend. Or worse, they're acts that we would strive to unravel, to explain, to bring some reason out of them, to bring them from the world of the amazing back to the world of the normal. These disciples, the ones who walked with Christ, they saw it. They saw the impossible. They've come to know Jesus as more than just a guy. He is the Messiah. He's what people have been waiting for. So today is a pretty good day. A day of joy, a day of celebration. But the disciples are celebrating something entirely different than we probably are. For us, this week is week one of a two-Sunday celebration. First, we celebrate the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem. Then next week, already somehow, we'll be celebrating Easter. The core of our faith, the reason for our church's being, the empty tomb, the resurrection, new life, death stomped out, and the love and grace of God raised high. But we aren't there yet. Because for the disciples, next Sunday hasn't happened yet. Tomorrow hasn't even happened yet. Because they're caught up in the glory of today. The day when they think that their new king is entering Jerusalem to dethrone pretenders, oust the Romans, to make Israel great again. Two on the nose, maybe. That might be a bit too close to our topical political life that's going on with our brothers and sisters in the South, but it's actually not that far from the truth. From what people actually thought was going to happen. They were expecting Jesus to use his power. That the Messiah would be the leader of an army. That's where they are today. But that's hard for us. To get into the mindset of where Jesus' followers are at. It's hard for us. For us, Lent can often seem like a slog. Because we know the story, we know what is coming. It's like we've taken the book and skipped to the end. But somehow, the journey is ruined. Sure, we journey from Sunday to Sunday, hearing about the ups and the downs, but we know where the road, meandering as it might be, is headed. To that hill far away, on that old rugged cross. But what if we could experience that journey? What if we could set aside the fact that we know what is coming, the bread, the cup, the cross, the gift? What a roller coaster that would be. Think about how Lent would be different if we didn't know what waited for us at the end. Think how this week would be different. Can we do that? Maybe. Here's my struggle. In this context, I know what's coming, and it's hard to pretend that it's not. But that's not even the worst of it. How many here, and let's get some honesty because we're all friends, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, how many here sacrifice this moment for some future moment? Nobody? Every couple people? Maybe it's not this exact moment. Maybe you're entirely present as we come before God in worship and praise, and if I'm lucky, you're awake too. But how many here sacrifice a moment in the now, or a present moment, in an effort to figure out some future moment? How many of us spend time wasting our moments trying to figure out what's coming next? Come on, nobody's ever thought about the future. What a wonderful, naive life you lead. I want that life. It's not just that we plan for what might come. We obsess about it. We try to nail down the story like we've already read it. Something that we create an end for. And we do this, we seek to control what may come at the expense of what is. Now, being prepared is important. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be mindful of the days that lay before us. But what I'm cautioning against is mapping out each moment forward, leaving little to no room for life to happen, for the Holy Spirit to move and to push you in a direction that you didn't expect, maybe didn't want to go. Because the truth is, life happens. Quite rudely, I might say, without our permission. We often run into detours or run full into brick walls because we're too busy looking down at the map that we've created of how we think things should be, rather than taking in life for its joys, its celebrations, its sorrows, and its challenges. So knowing this about ourselves, it's no wonder that we have such a hard time getting into the shoes of the followers of Christ. And yet, every time that we go to our Holy Scriptures, every time that we go to hear those stories of God's relationship with humanity, we are invited to experience that story anew. To take our place alongside our brothers and sisters in faith, to laugh, to cry, to fear, to hope, to wonder, and to dream anew. Today's story is no different. Indeed, this week is no different. Soon we will leave the cloaks and the palm branches behind. But before we do, hear again the joy of this story. Let it inside you. Let it permeate your soul so that when the Hosanna comes, it is your Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Can you feel the joy in these words? Can you feel the hope that lives in these words? What are they saying when they say, Hosanna? They're not shouting gibberish. They're not even shouting hooray. Does anybody know what they're shouting? Save us. Deliver us. Our salvation has come. Save us, Son of David. Save us. Be present in that. It's a plea to be taken from the pain of present times, to be taken into the glory and the love of God's kingdom on earth. That's where they are right now. Can you join them? Can you shout with the same desperation, the same relief to be saved? That you are saved. How loud is your Hosanna this day? How true does it ring? How loud is your Hosanna? Anybody, Hosanna, come on! Are you a saved people or not? Hosanna!
Hosanna!
We'll get there. Let go of what holds you down. Let go of what keeps you from meeting your brothers and sisters in faith, separated only by a few millennia. Embrace them in their joy, because it's your joy too. Salvation has come. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what we should be shouting this day. Because our salvation has come. And so I want to invite you to do the same thing as we're doing right now, to do it every day this week, even if it's just for a short time every day, a spiritual practice every day, to take some time to imagine where the followers of Christ would have been in that moment on that day. Be in that moment. Maybe it's Tuesday, and people are still shouting, people are still partying. Maybe it's Thursday, and you're just about to sit down to supper with Jesus, but this time, you know it feels different. Maybe it's Friday, and you feel like the world is upside down. Or maybe it's Saturday, and you're caught between the hell of Friday and the uncertainty of tomorrow. Whatever you do, I invite you to stay present, to try and stay present with your brothers and sisters of millennia past, and experience with them this journey through what we've come to call Holy Week. Live between the celebrations of Palm Sunday and Easter, and live each day. And while you're doing that, be present with yourself. Be present with your loved ones. Rather than gaze at the horizon of what might yet be, look through the window of the present and see the gift that is each moment. And give thanks for those you love, for those who love you. Give thanks for the Christ who rides confidently and for the joy of this day. Give thanks for the week to come, and the surety that for every darkness, there is a dawn not far behind. Amen. I invite us now.